to Katie and the team. Welcome to church. Add my welcome to that of Katie's. It's great to be here. Great to be able to share God's word with you tonight. Just to add to the announcements, the Christmas offering is actually going to go to Crossroads Bible Institute. So details are in the bulletin there. CBI, it's the acronym, but Crossroads Bible Institute. So they do work in prisons. They do Bible study programs and things with inmates there. And some of our folk at City Health have been a part of that throughout the year. And we just, each year we choose a ministry, and this is the one that we've chosen this year. So if you're coming prepared for that, that's where the money's going. But details are in the bulletin for that if you want that. Christmas is pretty close. How many days away, Ollie? 5. Okay, cool. Thanks. Remember when you were a kid and like you counted down, like, you know, waiting, this whole business of waiting for Christmas was a really big deal. Maybe you're not a kid anymore and it's still a big deal. That anticipation, that excitement that Katie was mentioning earlier, you know, it kind of just wells up in you as you wait for Christmas Day. Maybe it's the excitement around the giving and receiving. You know, it's the thought as a young child, I remember back to my memories, and it was that idea of that Christmas gift. What was going to be under the tree? What's in the present? What would mum or dad's reaction be when they opened the present that I'd saved up and bought for them or made for them? That wonderful anticipation of seeing family together and being all gathered together in one place. I remember as a young boy, as it kind of got closer and closer to Christmas, particularly once it hit December, it kind of seemed to go on forever. You know, December days seemed to be the longest days in the year. Christmas kind of seems so close, but then so far as you count it down. Waiting can sometimes be hard. And I think that more so, probably in our modern society, in our instant society that we live in this world where everything is kind of expected to be at our fingertips the moment that we want it. You know, we have high-speed downloads, on-demand entertainment. We have this instant gratification kind of culture. Most of the time these days, we don't like waiting. Most of us would be happy to not have to wait any longer than we have to. Yet the reality is God makes us wait. Many of us have experiences of waiting. Some of you have waited for Star Wars Episode 7 to come out. Some of you have waited for OP results or QTAC placements to come in. Some have waited for the phone to ring after a job interview that you've been to. Parents have waited for the baby that they dreamed they would hold in their arms. Maybe you've waited for test results from a doctor, or waited on God for a spiritual breakthrough or for answers to prayer. We all wait. And as we come to this time of Christmas, as we wait for Christmas, we're reminded that often waiting and faith goes hand in hand. Particularly as we think about waiting for Christmas. Waiting and faith goes hand in hand. Waiting is the backdrop that sets up this very first Christmas all those years ago. If you're familiar with the Bible story, for generations throughout the Old Testament, we're told that there was this remnant of Jewish people, God's people, who he'd gathered together to himself, and they were waiting every single day, not for Santa, but they were waiting for a Messiah. We know that students of the Bible, after the Old Testament was completed and written down, there was 400 years of silence before that promise of a Messiah would be fulfilled, before Jesus Christ would be born. We understand that during that time, many of God's people gave up waiting, because waiting is hard. For many, it would have seemed like God was silent. In our reading that we're going to do tonight, in a New Testament passage, we're going to come across two people who didn't give up waiting, Simeon and Anna. And their story of waiting and faith challenges us to think about how we might wait for Christmas. It challenges us to think about what we're actually waiting for as we think about this whole Christmas season. I'm going to pray and then we're going to have a look in Luke chapter 2. So you'll need a Bible there. So you need to get one of those if they're in the seats in front of you. We'll put some words up on the screen if you didn't bring one as well too. But if you can get one and follow along, it's good to do that. But just let me pray before we get stuck in. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to your word once more. And we ask, Lord, that you would teach us. Teach us to wait on you with faith and hope. Teach us, Lord, to trust in your word and marvel at your goodness. Help us to turn to you for comfort, to look to you for our salvation. Lord, we pray that you would speak and that we would listen. And we would respond. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. This is a little bit towards the end of the Christmas story. Jesus, the baby, has been born. And we pick up 8 days after his birth. Luke writes for us in Luke chapter 2, verse 21. On the 8th day, when it came time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he'd been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Leave the reading there. Luke, the historian, writing for his friend Theophilus, gives us this account of the days after the baby Jesus was born. 8 days after his birth, Jesus was taken by Joseph and Mary to be circumcised, as was the custom of their people, to be consecrated to the Lord. They went to offer sacrifice to God. Anna and Simeon are directed by God to be in the temple right at this particular time. And there they're able to bear witness to the Savior's birth. Let's look a little bit closer at these two characters. First, Simeon. We're introduced to him in verse 25 and we learn a few things about him. First, about his character. Luke tells us that he was righteous and devout. It's actually explaining to us how Simeon might have related to others and how he related to God. It's kind of giving us a picture of the man. As far as others saw this man Simeon, he was righteous. Just means he did what was right. He had good morals. He was a virtuous guy. As far as his relationship with God goes, he was devout. He feared God. He believed. He had faith in God. And he obeyed. We're also told in verse 25 that he was waiting. Simeon was a guy who was waiting. What was he waiting for? Have a look there in verse 25. We're told that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. All it means is he was waiting for comfort. Simeon's expectation, this consolation of Israel that was going to happen, was focused on the comfort that the Messiah would bring. Simeon's desire was not just for his own comfort, but for the comfort of his people, for the comfort of the nation of Israel. In actual fact, among the Jews of Simeon's day, one of the popular titles of the Messiah, the promised one that would come from God, was Comforter. There was this longing for a Messiah to come and to bring his comfort to the people. You have to understand that in this particular time for the people of Israel, it was tough going. Put yourself in their shoes. The people of God, they hadn't heard anything, any words from God. There was no message from the prophets. They hadn't heard anything from God in over 400 years. And there they are, in Jerusalem, in the promised land, occupied by the Romans. They'd lost their ability to govern, and many of them lived in fear of the cruel King Herod, who'd ordered the destruction of babies. He was a cruel king. Many were probably left wondering if the Messiah was even going to come. But not Simeon. We're told that he never gave up hope. He had faith. Verse 26 tells us that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah. And that's where we see it, isn't it? Waiting and faith going hand in hand. Simeon waited in faith for God's promises to be fulfilled. Simeon waited in faith for God to act. He had hope. His hope came from his faith in God's word. Simeon's faith that God's Messiah would bring comfort to his people probably came from the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2, the prophet said these words from God to the people. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed and that her sin has been paid for. Simeon read the Bible. He knew God's word and he had faith in that word. His hope was that God had promised a comfort to a war-weary people. That God had promised a pardon for sin and a removal of his anger towards them. That was Simeon's hope. That's what he longed for. That's what he was waiting for. Strikes me that this longing in Simeon's heart for comfort, it's not something that is strange or foreign to us. There are many, maybe some here tonight, who are waiting to be comforted. This desire to be comforted is a universal human need. All of us can know the struggle of loneliness. We can feel the stress of insecurity. We can know the agony of frustration. We mourn the loss of loved ones. We grieve. We cry. We despair. Comfort is something that we all need. Something that we all wait for at different times in our lives. the hope of the Christmas story is that it reminds us that God is a God of comfort and a God of peace. Moved by God's Spirit to enter the temple at that exact moment, Simeon is able to bear witness to the fulfillment of God's promise. Christ, the Savior, is born. The Messiah, the Comforter, had arrived. That's what he sees there in verses 27 to 28. He's moved by the Spirit. He goes into the temple courts and he sees the child, the fulfillment of that promise. And his response is to break into praise. You look at his praise there in verse 29 and 30. He says, God, you've done what you've promised. I no longer need to wait. I can die a happy man. I've seen your salvation, the Messiah. He is here. I wonder, as Simeon was moved by God's Spirit, if God's Spirit is leading you tonight. Is it time for you to bear witness to the fulfillment of God's promises? Is it time for you to recognize that His comfort is here in the person and work of Jesus? As you think about Christmas, as you think about that baby Jesus, God made flesh, came to earth for us. Christmas reminds us, friends, that God is a God who keeps His promises, that we can trust His word. God is a God who comforts those who mourn. God is a God of peace. As we wait for Christmas, as we wait to celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus, we can look to God for comfort, if comfort is what we wait for, are waiting for. We see the second character there that we're introduced to, Anna. Luke tells us a few things about her as well and about what she's waiting for. Look in verses 36 to 38. We're told that she was a prophetess right up front in verse 36. We're told that she's old. She's a widow. She's been married for 7 years and then she's lived alone as a widow until she was 84. She's not just a prophet, she's not just old or a widow, but she's a worshipper of God. Look at that in verse 37 there. Her life is characterized by her worship of God. That's how Luke describes her. She's dedicated herself to God. Night and day, we're told, she fasted and prayed in the temple. She was waiting. Verse 38. It wasn't comfort that Anna was waiting for. It wasn't like her husband had left and now she needs to be comforted and she's just not sure what to do with her life. She got on with life. She has hope. She's worshiping God. She's dedicating herself to God. She's not waiting for comfort. What's she waiting for? She's waiting for forgiveness. Verse 38, we read that coming up to them, Joseph and Mary, at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Redemption. That's what she's waiting for. Anna was waiting for redemption. The word redemption is related to this idea of captivity. It speaks to our need to be delivered from powers that still hold us bondage, captive. Redemption is the work that saves us from enemies that threaten us. Anna had this faith, this hope in the promises of God that He had said He would save them, her and her people, from their greatest threat, their biggest enemy. And it wasn't the Romans, it wasn't Herod. Their biggest enemy was their captivity to sin. Anna was waiting for forgiveness. Again, the Christmas message reminds us of that wait. And it gives us hope. Faith and hope working together. Faith and waiting. Because the Christmas message is a message of redemption. This was always God's plan. In fact, it was the very reason why Jesus came. If you're here this morning, Murray took us through looking at the character of Joseph. We looked at Joseph's account of Jesus' birth. Matthew 1:21, the angel instructs Joseph ahead of Jesus' birth about what's going to happen and what they're going to call him. The angel said to Joseph that you're to give him the name Jesus because he'll save his people from their sins. That was significant, Jesus' name. And it's so significant that we're told that time and time again throughout the scriptures. Matthew points it out in his account. Luke mentions it for us here in Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. We're told that he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he'd been conceived. So we're kind of getting this sense from Luke that this was God's plan all along. The angel had told Joseph and Mary, this is what you're going to name him, before he was even born. Why? Not because it's hard to pick out kids' names. No, because it was God's plan all along. That's the reason why Jesus came. That's the reason why we can have hope this Christmas, because Jesus saves us from our sin. Because Jesus has redeemed us. This was the faith that Anna had as she waited for forgiveness. Maybe that's the faith you have tonight. Maybe that's what you long for. I know there are times in my life when I've felt that longing, that need for forgiveness. When we recognize in our own hearts what the Bible calls sin. Murray highlighted that for us earlier tonight around the communion table. If we're honest tonight, you just stop and ponder and consider your own heart. I would imagine that we've all felt that need for forgiveness at some point. Something we may have said or thought or done that haunts us, fills us with feelings of guilt and shame. Perhaps it's something good that we know we should have done, but we didn't. We know that pang of regret. If only we could have another chance. Friends, the wonderful joy, the hope of Christmas is that we can. And we do have another chance. The Bible tells us that no matter what we've said or done or thought or didn't do, Christ has saved us. We are redeemed. We've been set free from guilt and shame, from the slavery of our sin. This redemption that Anna waited for, this forgiveness that she longed for, is here. That's what she bore witness to. That's what she told everybody about. That hope is ours through faith in Jesus. So tonight, look to Jesus for comfort, but look to Jesus for forgiveness as well. That's the hope of Christmas. God's comfort and his forgiveness. I don't know what you're waiting for Christmas. I don't know about your anticipation or excitement. What's going on for you? But the Bible tells us, that the good news of the gospel tells us that whatever it is that we're waiting for, what we truly need, Jesus can give us. Maybe tonight you identify with Simeon. Maybe you're hurting, lonely, empty, afraid, worn out. Maybe you just need some comfort or a fresh sense of God's presence. Can I just encourage you as you wait for Christmas? You can find what you're looking for in Jesus. He came to comfort us. Maybe you identify a bit more with Anna. Maybe you know guilt because of something you've done, because of the way you're living. Maybe you feel trapped in a pattern of sin that you can't break out of. Whatever it is, if you need forgiveness, if you feel that longing for forgiveness, Jesus can give it to you tonight. You don't have to wait till Christmas. He's already come. No better time than right now to turn to Jesus, receive his forgiveness. I think that maybe just to get a little bit practical, how do you respond to that? You know, if God came to give us comfort and forgiveness, if Christmas helps us to remember that, how might we respond to that? Well, I think the first thing we could do is marvel at God's goodness. Notice in verse 33 there of Luke chapter 2, that's what Mary and Joseph did. Simeon comes up to them. He recognizes the Savior, the Messiah that brings comfort and peace. And we're told in verse 33, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. They were filled with wonder and surprise, astonishment at the goodness of God, how amazing his grace is. Notice that Simeon didn't just say this was just something for the Jews. This comfort, this peace that God brings, that the Messiah offers, was just going to be for God's special people. No. Simeon says there in verse 32 that he would be a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. It's the whole world. You don't have to be a Jew to experience the joy of Christmas, the hope, and the peace that God brings. That's for all mankind. The whole world was to be saved by Jesus. So I think on a personal level, to accept, to receive God's comfort, to know his forgiveness, we have to first marvel at his goodness, wonder at his grace. That's amazing. Do you marvel at that? Or are you too caught up in the busyness and the stress of Christmas time and holidays? You've been running around because, you know, holidays, you're trying to get everything ready for Christmas. Maybe Christmas has become a bit too predictable or too familiar. You've kind of heard the Christmas story year after year and you've lost some of that awe, that wonder. It doesn't marvel you anymore. Man, stir that up in your heart once more. It is amazing, God's grace. And he offers it to the whole world. Start there. Marvel at God's goodness, but then let his spirit move you. Simeon and Anna were moved by God's spirit. God led them, called to them, and they responded. They did something. They responded with action. And right throughout the Bible, it's filled with people who God's spirit called them, revealed something of himself, of his grace, and people were moved to respond in action. You think about Mary. I mean, the angel came and said, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have God's son. She said, may it be to me as you have said. I'm your servant, God. Use me if that's your will. She was moved by God's spirit to respond in obedience and faith. Joseph, he demonstrated that he was ready to move. Like we heard about him this morning. He has this dream. This angel speaks to him in a dream. And when he wakes up, what does he do? We're told that he did everything that the angel had commanded him. He went home and he took Mary as his wife. You think about the shepherds out there in the field and the angel appears and says, the Savior's been born. They sing and praise God. What did the shepherds do? They were moved by God's Spirit. They said, well, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened. They went to investigate it for themselves. I'm struck a bit by what Simeon said to Mary here in verse 34 of Luke chapter 2. I think it would have taken her breath away. After he'd blessed them, he said to Mary, this child is destined to call the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. It's not a really joyful Christmas greeting. It's not like Simeon saying, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. He pauses and clears his throat and he tells her that Christmas is likely never to be merry, and the new year will not be happy until people get moving and respond to Jesus. What he's actually foreshadowing here in this prophecy, he's saying the truth is that Christmas is going to divide people. Christmas is going to move people one way or the other. Jesus, the Messiah, does that. You're either going to be moved by God's Spirit towards Jesus, or you're going to reject him and you'll move away. Jesus would cause the falling and rising of many just because of who he is and what he came to do. He forces us to make a decision about him. Right throughout the scriptures, powerful imagery is used. Jesus is presented as a rock that we build our life upon, or a rock that we stumble over. Jesus calls us to a decision, to be moved by God's Spirit. If that's where you're at tonight, that's your response. Will you allow God to move you to faith in Jesus, to obedience to his word? Or will you move away and reject the hope that he offers? Lastly, if you do allow God to move you, if you receive Jesus, if you've done that, then your response is to bear witness like Anna did. She immediately bore witness. She talked about everything the child had come to do. We're told there in verse 38, she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Tell what you know to be true. If you have been moved by God's Spirit to receive his grace, if you know the comfort and peace of God, if you know forgiveness of your sin, then tell what you know to be true. This is a wonderful time of year. We are given so many opportunities to talk about Jesus. Do it. Tell that wonderful good news of Christ, our Savior. I think we're out of time. We'll leave it there. Can I just encourage you? Whether you relate to Simeon or Anna tonight, let God move you. Let him move you to Jesus, not away. If you feel like maybe you're heading in that direction, if you've still got questions, I'd love to tell you more about Jesus. Many of us here, we know and love Jesus. We want to be his messengers. We want to bear witness to that fact. So talk to somebody you came with tonight, if not me. Find out for yourself. Because God is a God who can be trusted. He does fulfill his promises. Christmas is evidence of that. Let it be joy and hope that you wait for. Let me pray. Father, we just want to thank you so much for your word. Father, thank you for what it reveals to us about who you are and what you've done. Father, we just thank you for Simeon and Anna, and they're bearing witness to the Savior's birth. Father, thank you that we see in their life how waiting and faith go together. Father, we pray as we wait for you, whether we wait for comfort or forgiveness or for something else. Lord, would we find our faith in you tonight? Father, I just pray especially for those who you might be calling even now by your Spirit. Father, we just pray that they might be moved closer to you, to your Son, Christ, the Savior that was born. Father, we just pray that your grace would overwhelm us, that we would just marvel at your goodness. Lord, for those of us who know and love Jesus, who've received that grace, Father, give us every opportunity to bear witness to that fact this Christmas. Father, may we be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have in Jesus, to tell what we know to be true of Christ our Savior. What a wonderful time of year this is as we wait for Christmas to celebrate again the birth of your Son, Jesus, our Messiah. It's in his name we pray. Amen.